Blog Talk Radio.
Another thing, I see when I put up that video from the Academy, Can the White Man Be Saved? You got a lot of these newer brothers that are coming on with these old understandings concerning Esau, right? Saying that none shall make it. The same old tired breakdowns that I've seen since the early 90s. Brothers, I'm going to tell y'all this. Save your comments, okay? What y'all trying to teach, I taught, and I was a high shield general, 9 shields, in the doctrine you're trying to push. I can actually go into other scriptures and bring forth some understanding that'll probably make what you're trying to bring forth more convincing, okay? So don't waste your time here. You, guess what? You're barking up the wrong tree. Okay, you can't teach me what I can teach you upside down. All right? And I'm saying that because when you go into Esau, let's go there real quick. Let's go there. Because I see people over and over again quoting the book of Obadiah. So let's go to the book of Obadiah on Esau real quick when it comes to none shall be left remaining of the mount of Esau. Let's go there. Right? Shall I not in that day, over the 1:8, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and the understanding out of the mount of Esau? And that mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. The mount is the head of Esau, who is Amalek. Amalek are those who mix their blood with who? These are they who have a religion that rejects Christ. They're outright antichrist, and they're not going to make it anyway. So when you go into the book of Genesis 36, you'll see all of Esau's children weren't a part of the mount of Esau. That's number one, okay? And I'm speaking about all of you, UPK, or any other group out there. I understand that doctrine better than any of you young people now who've just gotten a computer. I was teaching what you're teaching before there were Microsoft computers. Okay? Let's make that clear. Now, the other thing, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Right? In that day thou stoodest on the other side and carried away captives and forces and foreigners into it, the gate, and cast lots for Jerusalem, even thou was as one of them. Right? But thou shouldest not have looked on the day that thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither should thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of the destruction, 70 AD. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into thy gate. They went into our gate. They destroyed Jerusalem. And my people in the day of their calamity, yea, thou should not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance, that's property, in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither should thou have delivered up those of his that did not remain in the day of distress. Now listen, I'm reading more. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. That's including the other Gentiles who conspire. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. Right? Now, 16, we're going to go back there in a moment. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. That's Israelites. And there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. So when it says there shall not be none remaining, it's talking about the ill-gotten properties they took, not people. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. So when it says thou shalt not be any remaining, this is the scripture these Israelites are getting confused. It's not talking about the Edomites. It's talking about the property they have stolen. How do you know this? Well, let's go to the Septuagint, which is a what? Later, an earlier translation before King James. Isaiah 1 and 18. And the house of Jacob shall be for fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau shall be for stubble, and Israel shall flame forth against them, and shall devour them. And there shall not be a cornfield left to the house of Esau, because the Lord has spoken it. So they're not going to be in our land, in our world, controlling our products, because the world belongs to us. So it's not talking about there'll be none remaining of Esau. It's speaking of the property he stole. So come and learn and stop teaching that what? That regenerated false breakdown that I can teach better than you because I've already done it. Okay? Get in the academy. Now, let's go down to the, and people say, well, can Esau be taught? Well, the Bible tell you that what? The elder shall serve the younger. So how can the elder serve the younger if Jacob isn't teaching the younger? I mean, how can the elder serve the younger if we're not teaching them? So it links into, that's right, Acts 15 and 14, where what? The Gentiles who are called by God's name, these are the Gentiles who would do what? Fulfill servitude in the kingdom. So they must be saved to serve. So not just any old Edomite is getting into the kingdom. They must repent. They must renounce the gods of their fathers and come under the true teachings of Christ. So in order for them to serve, they must what? Be taught. And that's why Christ sent the disciples. Now, all the other Israelite groups out there, whatever the case is, it isn't their calling to do this because Christ has a different setup than the other Israelites that were there during his time. So if you want to be an Israelite that don't deal with Gentiles, that's your calling. As long as you teach Israelites, you're still doing well. It's our calling to teach the gospel. Got it? And that includes teaching the Gentiles. All right, let's go down the line. Chris has a comment.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, sir. How are you, Chris?
All right, pretty good. Another great breakdown. Elder, oh, man, thank you again. Watchmen are doing their job, and thanks to this church, we was able to get the Most High name. Elder, I had a question. Did you ever notice in the movie Baby Boy in the beginning, he's coming from an abortion clinic?
I never seen Baby Boy.
Okay, yeah, Elder. Well, she's coming from an abortion clinic, and it dawned on me. I was like, I said, "Hold on, where is she coming from?" And then I looked at the movie, and she was actually coming from an abortion clinic, and it was like, and I remember you saying like the children that are passed through the fire Moloch, they're in heaven wanting judgment because of that action. Now, Elder, my son, he lost his light.
Hold on. I'm sorry, brother. But before we go to your son, I'm sorry to hear about that. Let's deal with the first thing you're talking about. It tells us that children who didn't get an opportunity to have life, a decision that maybe happened with their parent, that they're before the heavens testifying against their parents, testifying against the person who chose not to allow them to come into the earth. And that's written in the Apocalypse of Paul. The innocent children are testifying against their parents. Now, and I know right now, most people, especially women who have made those choices in ignorance, feel ashamed or afraid. But this is why the Most High compels us to be baptized, right? So that we're not held for the things we did in ignorance, so that now we're seen as a new creature. So it doesn't mean that, you know, of course you have to deal with the guilt that come with it, but all in all, there is a remedy. You can be cleansed of that, right? There is a remedy, but all in all, it tells us in the Apocalypse of Paul that the children who were deleted early stand before the Father and testify against their parents day and night. That's a whole other thing. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. There is no sound. Yeah, there's no sound. Let me say this real quick. Oh, I'm sorry about that. I'm sitting there talking away, and there was no sound. Again, you were mentioning earlier that when it comes to people deleting their children, that it's written of in the Apocalypse of Paul that those children are in heaven before the throne of the Father testifying against their parents, who didn't allow them to have life. They testify in judgment against their parents for destroying them in the womb. They're testifying. Now, usually something like that would make women fearful that they've done something like that in ignorance, right? But all in all, that's why baptism is so important. Because now you're not held accountable for the things you did willingly or in ignorance, and you get a new lease at life where you can only be judged from that baptism going forward. But yes, it is true. In the Apocalypse of Paul, there was a record that Paul left. It was left in a church over there called over there in Asia Minor. And it was the Apocalypse of Paul, and it's what Christ showed Paul after that road to Damascus event. He showed him everything. He showed him what would even happen in judgment. And Paul was going to get judged in hell if it wasn't for him repenting. But in that, he's seen many judgments. One judgment he's seen was babies standing before the Father. He asked, who are these babies? And then it was told to Paul, these were the children who were destroyed in the womb without the opportunity for life, who testify before the Father day and night against their parents. Yes. Who testify against their parents because they were waiting to come into the world. They were waiting in their mother's womb, hope to be protected, when a demon came in, an evil person came in to destroy them, before they had an opportunity to serve their God on earth. So they testify against their parents. But again, thank the Most High for Christ that he can forgive that sin. But all things are made new through baptism. But go on.
Oh, yes, sir. So I lost my son. He was killed by my children's mother and husband. And I remember one time, Elder, I went, it was a sister crying. So she was crying, and it wasn't a guy buyer. So I said, sister, you all right? And she said, I lost my son. My son was killed. And then her husband came from out the building, and he's like, oh, yeah, bro, thank you, bro. You know what I mean? Just I don't know what to do. And I was able to talk to her because I went to like it was almost like a dream. And I got tapped on the shoulder, and I looked around, and I turned the other way, and my son was walking toward some type of mirage or something, like, you know what I mean, like an angel in the way. And it was saying, "Come on, Keys." And I could just and he smiled, and it was like a whole bunch of kids playing. And I just told her, like, "Listen, your son is in good hands." And I told her the story that I witnessed, you know what I mean, as far as like in a dream almost. And she thanked me and you know what I said to her, and you know, it made her feel a lot better. She said she didn't know how she was gonna be able to go on without knowing Toldra. And I know that you know, some people go through that, and just wanted to say that, you know, the heavens, when these children we lose, which I learned from you, Elder, when they pass through, or when they lose their life and they're so young, the Father they're in the Father's hand, you know what I mean, in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Well, brother, I'm sorry about what happened to your son, but if it be the Most High's will, you will see him again, my brother, and maybe that was confirmed in the vision he gave you, right? To comfort you. Because guess what? We're with the Father before we're sent here, you know, we're sent to the earth to do our purpose here. We're with the Father. And eventually, we'll be back with him, hopefully. Because in the bosom of Abraham, there's two separate scenarios. There's those who didn't follow the Most High, who's in torment, waiting for judgment. And on the other side, they can see those in profound quiet being protected in the bosom of Abraham, waiting for the change. So I pray that your son is waiting for you in the bosom of Abraham. All right? And if it be so, you'll see him in the first resurrection. Okay?
All praises are higher.
Bless you, brother. And again, I'm sorry for your loss.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, the next early night tonight, let's see. Nicole has a comment/question.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, how you doing, Nicole?
All is well, all praises. I just want to say first before I get to my comment, and that is I thank you so much for breaking down the baptism. I've heard you minister on it before, but this time tonight, I got the full understanding of the significance of it, and I wish I could, oh, how I wish I could be there to be baptized coming up. But I do plan to go to the closest location for us, which I think is Atlanta, and get it done before the end of the year, and looking forward to the church opening here in Memphis. And man, I tell you, if you need us to bring a brick and put a brick in the building and get it done, I'm telling you, we are on fire, ready for GOCC Memphis location. And I just want to say, as far as my comment, there is, you know, when you talk about children, that's my wheelhouse. That's my lane. That's my, because I worked over 25 years in children's church at my church that I'm transitioning out of. And when you talked about child sacrifice, I was thinking about Blue Ivy. I've been making some posts on Facebook about how Beyonce has been, you know, her daughter, Blue Ivy, is only 11 years old, and she has that girl out before the multitudes for her so-called Renaissance tour. You know, this whole tour is a mockery. Of course, you know, I know all of the concerts are just conjurings, but before she launched this tour, her promo was her sitting on a pale horse. So I know that she was also a child sacrifice as far as I'm concerned, but for her to be putting her 11-year-old daughter out there, to me, it's no different than what you were talking about earlier today. And I would just love to hear your take on that. But also, there's this show I want you to, if you can, check the trailer for, a show called Praise Petey. It is a new show. It's an animated show about a girl who was a New York it girl, and then something happened, and she had to go home to her parent, her father's. I think her father passed away, and she ended up inheriting his home, his hometown cult. Yes, cult. And it's called Praise Petey. I want you to watch that. That like when you were talking about, they're not, you know, they're not trying to hide anything anymore. This show is so full of witchcraft and I mean all of the dark arts, everything, you name it. Because she is suddenly in, launched, or should I say, pushed to be the head of this cult of her father's hometown, and they practice everything. I mean everything. I mean, and it's all animated. It's like nothing you've ever seen before, and it's supposed to be on Hulu. It's a Hulu Plus, I think, show, and I really would love for you to see kind of just what these crazy things that they're putting out there, just kind of in your face kind of stuff now, to as far as like the crystals and witchcraft and ancestor worship, and I think even I saw something in the trailer that resembled some kind of child sacrifice. I mean, it's really, really crazy. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be, of course, humorous because it's animated, but it is, I mean, it is real. I mean, they just go there. They go in every particular way.
Well, I got to get to the next call, sister, but I'll definitely look at that. I wrote it down, Praise Petey. I really appreciate it, okay?
Can I ask you one more quick question?
I have to get to the call, so you got to be quick. I may have to answer it off the call, but what is the question?
Oh, yeah, definitely answer it off the phone. And that is, can you explain really quickly what is the clay of the iron and clay feet? I haven't heard you teach that. I look at a lot of your old videos, and I need to know what the clay of the iron and clay feet on Daniel's statue. That's all.
Well, when it came to the iron and clay, it really broke down how the Roman Empire was actually set on two separate families of Esau. Okay, that's all it's talking about. Like,
so the clay
you had
the what?
No, when it says iron with clay, it's talking about the two legs of the Roman Empire. There's two separate directions. I think it was the south and the west of Esau who joined together to make the Roman Empire. That's
okay,
on
that's
one level.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I thought the clay might have been because the Israelites were in America, because I know that that's the last captivity and
that's the feet. No. That has nothing to do with America. That's talking about the Roman Empire in particular. All right?
Thank you, sir. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, sister. All right. Bless
Shalom.
Shalom. Let's see. That's Nicole. Thank you, Nicole. Next is Quadasha. Quadasha.
Yes. Shalom, Elder. Can you please tell me how to pronounce your name the correct way?
Rakashia.
Okay. Shalom, Elder Rakashia and Elder Lawyer. My comment is that I bear witness to the people, the Edomites that are into the sacrificing of children and heavy witchcraft and you know, warlocks. I live in a Jewish neighborhood, and I did not know I would experience these things, you know, when I moved here.
When it comes to other ethnicities like that and all that, I don't want to be labeled that we are attacking people who deal in certain things like that by name, because you know, there's this protection for certain groups here that I don't want to talk about. But if you want to keep it general. If you keep it general and say, okay, I've been around what they call a sundown town somewhere among some people, and I witnessed some suspicious behavior, then okay. But you have to be careful, because everything goes into not allowing anyone to speak in general about a specific protected class of people.
Okay,
hold up, but we're not afforded those protections. I'm a black man. You can talk about us all you want.
Okay. okay.
But go ahead. You can say anything you want about us, and it's okay. But go on.
Okay. Well, you correct me if I say anything else that is not appropriate. But I have seen those symbols in my building, the thing that you showed, that star thing. I have seen that. But and I have grandchildren, so you know, I've been praying over them. And
okay. Okay. Before we do that, when you say you've seen some of those witchcraft Moloch symbols, you're talking about what I showed on the screen earlier.
Yes.
This
yes.
star of Moloch. This
yes.
This child sacrifice symbol here.
Yes.
You've seen this in your building?
Yes, and it was erased. It was actually on the someone painted it on the floor, in the outside in the hallway, and it was there for like a day or two, and then somebody, you know, removed it. You know, it was in paint, and I've been experiencing a lot of you know, negative things here. I've been prayed up, and I'm happy that I found your church, because I've been searching. I've been awakened since 2016, but when I first came into the truth, I was introduced. I had went to a temple in Queens, and I didn't know that they were non-messianic, so I ended up leaving there. And to make a long story short, after the COVID, I've just been pretty much searching for a church home or assembly where the Most High, you know, wants me to be. And, you know, the Most High has revealed His right name. You know, I've never used Yahweh. I've had enough knowledge and wisdom not to use that, but I had been using Yahuwah, because I was searching, you know, for the right
Yahweh,
assembly.
So Yahweh and Yahuwah is really the same tetragrammaton pronounced differently.
Yeah, so that's why I stopped using Yahuwah, you know, when I realized that was the wrong name, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm happy. I've been listening to your teaching now for I guess about two months now, and and I'm learning a lot. And my question is, I might have to ask on another, either through email. I've been trying to email Gathering.
What is your question? Because the time that you're actually mentioned in the email, you can ask the question.
Oh, okay. Can I remarry? I was a Christian for 30 years, and I divorced my husband on the grounds of adultery.
Yes.
And not knowing, because that's what they teach you in Christianity, that on the grounds of adultery you can divorce your husband. So I divorced him, and then we have three children. They're grown now. And then 15 years later, I got remarried again. And I didn't divorce him yet, but I've been separated from him for about 8 years now. And he has not tried to find me, locate me, contact me. He, you know, fell into some old habits of his before we got married.
A lot of this has to be discussed offline when it comes to
okay.
the discussion that leads to what we do before baptism, to try to make sense of what happened and to make sure that you can go forward with a clean conscience. So a lot of that
right.
has to be discussed. But I would suggest this based on some of what you've just said already. You've
mm-hmm.
actually placed your children in some sort of danger without realizing it by having them amongst people who have these Moloch symbols around.
Right.
These symbols are symbols of Moloch for child sacrifice. So what I would suggest above all is finding a safe place for your children.
Right.
Okay. That's number one.
Right.
Number two, I would say regardless of what happened between you and your, their father, you need to find a way to connect with him so that your children are protected by him and to not become a sacrifice.
Well, my children are grown, so they have a relationship with their father. That was my first marriage. That's the
I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. But when you said children in
my
your explanation to me.
My grandchildren.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So your grandchildren. Where
they're
are their
babies.
Parents?
They are my sons. My grandchildren, my sons have my son have children, and I help take care of my grandchildren from time to time. So my sons are around, but my sons don't live with me. So my grandchildren have been experiencing, like, nightmares and, you know, things like that, you know, and I've been really praying.
Well, this is what I strongly suggest, to have a conversation on the outside of here, but above all, you need to make sure if they experience something, poltergeists or specters and shadim and demons where you live, then you need to get up out of there. And
right.
You don't need to be exposing your grandchildren to these spirits.
Yes, I am in the process of relocating. I am in that process already. And believe me, I do not want to be here. You know, I'm just making plans. Yeah, I'm making plans.
All right,
now,
well,
mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Send an email to gatheringas1@AOL.com, the number one, and we'll get someone from New York to link in with you, talk with you, and see what we can do in guiding you in this church, okay?
Yes, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bless you. And nice meeting you, too.
Shalom. Same. Shalom.
All right. Donna has a question or comment. All right, Donna.
Hey, how you doing over there?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, it sounds like there's you're speaking in a hall, like an echo or something there. Everything is good?
Okay, can you hear me very well now?
I can hear you. How are you doing? The floor is yours.
Hi, how you doing? Okay, I'm doing great. I'm doing great, Elder. It's so good to see you again.
Hello?
Yes. Okay, let me put this on pause because it's messing with me. Okay. Again, I just want to say thank you so very much for everything that you have done. I can tell you that you have done great for me, Elder. You've done so great for me. You opened a lot of doors spiritually for me. You got me on the right path, you know, and a path that I've been searching for a very long time. And I found you, and I tell you, you ain't going anywhere. You ain't leaving me going nowhere. I am now in one of the temples in Toronto. I've been baptized. And
praise
I love
the Most
it.
High.
Yeah, I was on the Bible study, the Bible, what you call that again?
Hebrew and Bible
yes,
Academy.
Yes, I've done it, but I did not complete to get to do the test. Because
okay.
my daughter was sick, my grandson was sick, and so I have to, you know, I didn't get to finish it, but nevertheless, I learned a lot from that. Okay, I'm not going to keep up much of your time. Okay, so this is what I wanted to ask you. If I want to change my name from the slave master name, from my name is Donna Smith, and I want to change the Smith to my Hebrew name, do you have any suggestions as to what name should I give myself, or should I just, you know, how does that work? Because honestly, now that I find out who I am, I want everything about me, about who I am. I want the name.
Okay. Well,
so I was asking.
Hold on. Well, what I would do is normally, usually when it comes to giving out names, you send an email. Elder Lawyer can actually look at your name since you were in the academy and see if there's a name, Donna, or something close to that in Hebrew, and tell you what that is and give you what that is in the Hebrew, okay?
Okay.
So let's see here. Let me see one thing. One moment.
Yeah, send an email to academychatquestions@gmail.com.
Academychatquestions at what, Elder Lawyer?
@gmail.com.
@gmail.com, and Elder Lawyer will actually respond back with a Hebrew name for you, okay?
Okay. I'm so sorry, Elder. Can you please repeat that for me?
I'll repeat that again, Elder Lawyer.
Yes, that's academychatquestions@gmail.com.
Academychatquestions. @gmail.com. Okay.
Yeah. @gmail.com.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. One more question, please. I'm very fast. Also, can you shed some light also? Did Jesus, when Yeshaya had died, right? Was he hung or did he nail to a cross?
Well, he was hung on a cross. They nailed him like this, at the top of his, like through his wrist and through his feet. It was like a stake.
Okay, so it wasn't his hands and feet?
Yeah, it was his hands like this, his hands and his feet on a stake, like that.
Okay, because the reason why I'm asking, because I saw something. I ran across a video the other day that's saying that Yeshaya was hung on a tree. He wasn't nailed to a cross.
Well, when it says hung on a tree, the tree is no different than the stake. Okay, they would cut a tree and make it a stake, but it would steal the tree, right?
Okay.
Sometimes the Romans wouldn't cut the tree. They would crucify people against a tree where they would nail it here and nail it to their feet. So it's still one and the same. Tree, wood, one and the same.
Okay. The next thing is, Elder.
Sister, I can only answer one call. I have to go to the next call. Okay. Send other questions through that same email, okay? Because we have a lot of people waiting. All right.
Okay, all right. No problem. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Bless you.
Okay, bye-bye.
If you don't mind, if I can elaborate on that very quickly.
Yeah, you can elaborate.
I know a lot of people have that question on whether it was a tree. We know some scriptures say he was hung on a tree. Other scriptures state that he was crucified. We know that the Roman form of capital punishment was by means of crucifix. So why does it say he was crucified in some verses, and in other verses it says he was hung on a tree? Well, very quickly, without having to go to the scripture, when you go back to the Old Testament, in the book of, I want to say, Deuteronomy, either 21 or 22, one of those passages, it makes mention of the Hebrew form of capital punishment, which was stoning, and after you were stoned, you were hung on a tree as a public example. So the Hebrew equivalent of what the Romans would do as far as their crucifixion or capital punishment was what? Hanging someone on the tree. So when Peter spoke to the Jews, he spoke to the Israelites with an understanding of what they understood, which was hanging a body on a tree. However, we understand that Christ was crucified under the Romans. How did the Romans deal with capital punishment? By means of crucifixion. So that's how he was killed. However, when Peter spoke to the Israelites, he mentioned being hung on a tree in reference to what? The Old Testament capital punishment under the Jews, just so you can understand.
Okay. Thank you, Elder Lawyer. And what we have to also focus on, I'm glad you brought that out, Elder Lawyer, is what the sacrifice meant for us more so than the form of capital punishment. I think that is a misdirection in itself, because he died for our sins. So it's to a point where people are splitting hairs for no reason at all. Whether
exactly.
it be a crucifix or whether it be on a tree, the fact that he died for our sins is what's highlighted. Some people try to say, well, there's a contradiction. No, he was crucified. He died. Why are we arguing over what means of punishment?
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
That's not the reason. His death is to be highlighted based on the instrument that's used. We should highlight the fact that it was prophesied that he would die for the sins of the nation. Therefore, he did die for the sins of the nation. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Other Way.
Yes, sir.
All right. Next call. All right. We're only going to take a few more, and then we'll be done for this evening. Who's this? Saba? Saba has a comment.
Hey, Elder, how you doing? This is Brother Saiba from Columbus, Ohio.
Saiba,
how you doing today, sir?
Pretty good yourself.
Doing awesome. Always great to talk to you, Elder. I have three quick comments. My first comment has to do with this undercurrent of the hatred towards Edomites, and I just want to share a quick story. I do insurance sales, and I talked to a lady from Texas. She was a Trump supporter. She was Republican. She'd be everything that this news media tells you hates us, that, you know, we have provocateurs. They're trying to create this great divide between the races. And the conversation is very interesting because when she began to talk to me and seeing that I was a brother of some intelligence, she asked me a question. She says, Gordon, why do black people support liberals? Don't you know they're about abortion? Don't you know about Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger, that it's an extinction to kill your people off? And this lady was literally crying to me on the phone, asking me questions, asking us, why do we portray our women as strippers? Why do we only portray drug dealers? And from the conversation, you know, as you kind of sat back, began to realize, it's like, you know, if you don't around us every day and the only image you see of us is on the television, you can understand why some people may misunderstand us. You know what I mean? And this type of person would be the person media would tell us that hates us. And I think just as during, you know, the Underground Railroad, there were certain people of different races.
See, you're speaking real quick, and you're unpacking a lot. Let me get straight to that, right? Let me deal with what initially came out of her mouth, brother. If a woman was to ask me, white woman asked me, like, what's this with liberals and your people and this, that, and the other, I would let her speak, and then I would say, excuse me, ma'am, do you speak for all white people? So I feel it disrespectful that you're asking me to answer for something I have nothing to do with. Are you the KKK? So no. So just because I'm black doesn't mean that I'm for everything you see black people do or the stereotypes that's pushed through media. So I found that disrespectful and condescending, ma'am. Okay, because I don't believe you're the antipodes or the example of everything that's wrong with white people. Are you? For some reason, some people think they have the power or the gall to speak down to us because it's allowed. Excuse me, man. Now, are you related to the KKK? Are you Albert Pike's granddaughter? What is this conversation here, man? I'm a black man, but I shouldn't have to answer to everything our people do. Ask the people who are doing it. Okay, so let's get to business, okay? I'm on the phone dealing with business with you, man. I'm not talking about what happens with my people. I'm saving my people. What about you? So you should have put that woman in her place. She needed to be corrected.
I can definitely understand that. If you had kind of heard the mannerism, it was more of a, she was asking me a question because she didn't honestly understand. It didn't sound like she was really coming from a condescending place. It was almost like she didn't think that we knew what was behind Planned Parenthood, that we didn't understand that it was a game to kill off our children. You know, so she was kind of asking me a question of curiosity to understand, like, do they understand that they're literally an organization that's designed to kill off your people? You know what I mean? And so it wasn't, that's all. But my whole point was.
Well, what's the next thing? Maybe you don't know when you're being disrespected.
If you would have heard the mannerisms of the conversation, I don't think you would have taken a look.
Okay. All right, it's fine. Okay, go on. You would know better than me, but go on.
Yes, sir.
I'm saying because you was on the phone call, so you would know the expression of how she had concern more so than being condescending. But, you know.
Yeah, she was like literally crying. Like literally emotionally and crying through that conversation. But the only point I was trying to bring with that elder was that, you know, as Jacob's troubles hit and this world begins to fall, there's going to be many people that the Most High is going to put in their spirit to help us and get us to the wilderness and get us to certain type of places. And people can cut off blessings the Most High may try to set up for you by your hatred and anger. And I just think that brothers and sisters should just watch the media provoking their hatred and anger. So that was my first point, sir. My second point had to deal with when you were showing the video earlier about the wickedness in the movie, and it brought back to me a person from history. There is a woman named Alice A. Bailey who wrote a 10-point mm-hmm. plan of the strategy of the New World Order. And one of the things mm-hmm. she said that they want to do with point seven was debase art and music and make it run mad. She talked about how they want to take God and prayer out to schools, reduce parental authority, to make homosexuality legal and free, and to get the church to endorse all these things. And it's not crazy to us, but it's just what we see now in the media is this plan that's happening, that none of this is happening by chance. He wrote this out in the 1940s, and it's just amazing every day as a father, you know, with children, and, you know, I have to watch what they watch and different things like that, this agenda that's coming at us, and just that everything that the Satanists have planned, you see happening to fruition in every aspect of our society.
Well, yeah, brother. I wrote down a name. I think I heard that before, but I'm going to look at those points again. I'm glad you brought that to my attention.
Just type it. Alice A. Bailey's 10-point strategy. If you like, I can read them to you. Point one.
You don't got to read them. You don't got to read them. But on your point, on your original point, there are a lot of Gentiles, white people and others, who are watching for who are actually watching for our people to stand, right? And will back us once we stand, speaking to your original point. And that's why the Bible says, when it comes to it, that the Gentiles shall come before us and say, surely our fathers haven't heard it lies. And it tells us that these same people will be a refuge in time of trouble. Now, if we mm-hmm. follow what the government is saying and the liberal movement and all that, they see us as enemies because they understand the toxicity the political toxicity that come with liberal thinking. Okay, mm-hmm. liberal thinking leads to death. So they look at those who operate in a liberal fashion as a threat to their family, and believably, they should. But if they see one of us or our people operating righteously according to God's law, and on top of that, you know, representing a high citizenry in their eyes, believe it or not, they'll be seeking to join an alliance or even to protect our people. Right? They need as many people who can see to preserve the union as possible. This is what they're thinking in their mind. Even though there will be no preservation for the union, but in their mind, they need as much help as they can to preserve what's left of the United States. So, and I'm saying that because the Bible says that in a time of trouble, he will entreat the enemy to actually help us in the day of trouble. So it's best that we don't make enemies through teaching the Bible. That's counterproductive. When I say make enemies, you don't call people out of their names, talking about white people can't be saved, which is utterly ridiculous. How can you say the white man can't be saved, but yet you say they're going to be slaves? Okay, slaves.
Absolutely no.
Servants. Okay, all right. Are they going to be saved to serve? You'd be like, well, yeah. So how can they get access to being saved to serve if the disciples aren't going to teach them what they need to do to be saved, to serve? So you have people who try to weaponize the Bible because they hate others. You understand, which is utter. That's some of the most low-level teaching to think, okay, all white people are evil. Right? It's utterly ridiculous. Or to think all black people are good. That's utterly ridiculous.
Right.
So it's the lowest level of doctrine known to mankind. Just because you got to have an axe to grind against a particular people, you're going to make your own doctrine and say, well, it's against God for me to teach you. Utterly ridiculous. Thank you, my brother.
Yes, sir. And I'll send you a picture of that 10-point plan to your phone so you have it. So you have a blessed day, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you. You're going to send it to me. I appreciate that.
Yes,
my
sir.
Brother.
I'll send it to you right now. You have a blessed day.
My man. I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, hey, that brother got a real head on his shoulders. I tell you that. The brother's sharp. Thank you, my brother. China has a question.
Yes. Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, China. What's your question?
So, my question is basically about marriage. I have this friend that we're really like thinking about taking things further, because I know there's no such thing as boyfriend and girlfriend in the Bible. And I was telling my mother that, and my only concern is like, I know there's a lot of things that was taught to us just because of a tradition, or that's just what we were told the right thing to do. And I don't necessarily agree with it, because it's like, how
you
do
don't
you
agree
know
with what
right
you're just speaking through a flow of thought.
I was gonna get to it, basically about getting married in like the government way, with like basically putting
okay,
it
okay.
in the government system.
Let's go from the beginning.
Okay,
where's your father?
My father is deceased.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that. Who's in its place? Who? Because obviously your hand has to be given to this man in marriage, correct? Who's in its place to give you away?
Honestly, I don't think I really have a father figure to do that.
I think that's pretty much the issue. How old are you?
I'm 21.
21. And the person that you're seeking this future relationship with, okay, does he believe in the Bible? What is his Bible?
He does. It's deeper than just like, just to do it. It's like, he's on the same path as me. Like, we're learning as we go, and it's like.
So is he in this work that you're hearing right now with the Gathering of Christ Church?
Yes, he wasn't like, but it seemed like since we started talking about it more, he became more open to it, and then he's learning as he go, and he's watching what he eat. He barely eat meat. Like, he knows about the Sabbath.
All
it's
right.
Like,
so this is what has to happen, sister, because you're young, and being young, you can be like all people, impressionable. What I would suggest, young lady, is that both of you get in a church, right, and get directed by a mentor, or we have people who are married in high position in the church who can be mentors to give y'all the counsel that's needed to see if this is right for you. You need a male perspective outside of your admirations.
Okay.
You really need a male perspective, because sometimes, especially when a young girl, emotions, you fall heads over heels. There's a lot of things you might just ignore altogether or can't see that a man can see.
Mm-hmm.
Your feelings are getting
like,
in the way
honestly,
of listen to what I'm saying.
Okay.
Your feelings can get in the way of the things you need to see. Not to say he isn't everything that you believe he is, but through biblical times, it didn't go like that. A man had to vet a young man to understand his long-term intentions. Women aren't equipped the majority of the time to actually do that. That's what men are for.
Right.
Right? So not to say that he isn't. He could be everything you're thinking, but you need someone with an outside perspective to vet who can see the things that you can't see being head over heels. Okay?
Okay.
So my advice is to take it slow, wait, get both of you in the church and have a counsel together to see, because first of all, the young man, what can he provide outside of himself? A man isn't supposed to choose a woman he can't provide for. So there's a lot of things that, because if he can't provide and you choose him, women go through stages of changing. What you'll accept now, 3 years later, 5 years later, you're gonna think you want something entirely different. Right. And then you're going to be like, well, hold up. I can't be with him because he ain't provided. Oh, you didn't think about him, what he was providing when you first got with him, and now you're going to hold him to something different. So, sister,
right.
you need someone to help direct you through this.
Okay.
All right?
So say I do take that route and someone do direct us and they see fit in for us, would it be like okay to just get married with the pastor and the two spouse and the like presence of the Lord?
Well, sister, you and him would decide that with your families. Some people do it where you can do the common way where both of your families are there with the witness and get it notarized where it's not strictly the state. Right? You can do it that way, or you can do it the state way. It's entirely up. That's an individual decision. There's no one way when it comes to that. That's what you
right.
both agree to.
Okay.
All right? But again, right. take your time. Again, take your time and make sure you have someone on the outside of you helping guiding you through this. Someone with the knowledge of God, someone in the church who's probably married and can mentor him to have you both understand exactly how to bring your union together under the Most High going forward, okay? And we can help you with that, all right?
Okay. Thank you
all
so
right.
much.
You're welcome. Bless you.
Bless you too.
All right. I only got room for a few more here. Moses has a comment. Myshaw, Moses.
Yes. Shalom.
Shalom, sir.
All praise to the Most High. I am so grateful that I was able to get through. First, my comment is that I came into the truth during the pandemic and the I had no fellowship or nothing. I watched everything on the internet and on YouTube and everything. But the Most High spoke to me and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and increased my knowledge in the whole nine and brought me into the truth. Because, you know, even though I have the name of a prophet, I had no idea that I was an Israelite. And he revealed that to me. He revealed that to me, and I've been growing ever since. And the whole thing since 2020, I hadn't had no fellowship, no brotherhood, no holy convocation. So I was trying to make it to the feast days, and I just was coming up short because I was doing it all by myself and couldn't figure it out. And, you know, nobody else in my household, you know, came into the truth but me. You know, and I've been married for right now it's going on 27 years. So nobody really, you know, was understanding or even, you know, believing what was happening. And they just thought
so what's the question?
So what's the question,
my brother?
Okay, the question, okay. Long story short, now that I'm in the truth and everything, I had prayed to the Most High for to get to the feast days and to get the Holy Convocation. And he led me to the GOCC here in my hometown. Well, not my hometown, but where I presently reside. So now I got fellowship. Now I'm getting to the feast days. And, I'm being separated as far as, you know, the Most High is cleansing me and he's separating me. And so now I'm, like, dealing with my wife. My wife, she got the jab, but I didn't because I didn't go for it. And so, you know, it seems as though, like, you know, I think to me personally, I think it affected her. And also by me being in the truth, and I think that she by her not being in the truth, we are really, like, growing apart and stuff like that. And I'm looking at her like, you know, maybe she was contaminated with something that was demonic that is really, like, you know, making her go against odds against me. And now that I'm growing, I'm like, okay, what do I do now? Because I'm at a point where, you know, do I put her away? Or do I just, you know, I don't really know what to do because, you know, it's a battle. And I know that, you know, the Most High is separating me so that he can cleanse me and use me and do whatever it is he has planned for me. But it's hard for
brother,
me to do that
brother,
with,
brother,
with her.
Brother, let me, you're going as your thought is running, and that's understood. Let's get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, I'm trying to be fast, though, because I know.
Don't worry about it. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm going to be able to help you more so on Patreon, right, as I go to it this Friday, because we're going to talk about that. But at the bottom line is, a line has to be drawn as a man over your house before decisions are made, right? There's lines that don't cross. You cross this line, and that line is outside of this relationship. Do you understand that? Right? So men have to be able to stand with a woman and say, you can't do this, because if you do this, you're going to affect me. If you step over that line is we're no longer together. Okay? Your body don't belong to you. What you're doing is going to affect me too. So if you was going to take a hard line on something, it should have been before it happened, right? That's number one, okay? Men have to take a hard line because guess what? There's lines that a woman ain't going to let you cross and still be with you. You understand that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Woman will tell you all day, if you do this, it's over. So what I'm saying is sometimes men are too lax when it comes to where the line is. And men going to have to start speaking to women, oh, their wives, and say, listen, all due respect, when you step over that line, okay, that's on the other side of the broom. You know where they used to jump the broom in slavery where they couldn't afford marriages, right? Well, guess what? When you jump over the other side of that broom, you stay over there. So, brother, you're going to have to remember Lot's wife. The Bible says that. Remember Lot's wife. You have to tell her, no, you have to tell her before it happens, this is what? This is the game changer if you do this. You understand that? That if you do this, it may fracture our relationship, or I believe it will. That's number one. You can't come afterwards and then try to change the game. Now, second, is there a fix or something that we can do that I call for those who've been medically violated? Is there a help? So listen, let's wait till Friday and we'll discuss this on Patreon. But I'm going to say this. You have some people trying to get out of things conveniently already, even before all this stuff happened. And now you have a convenient out under this circumstance. Some people already have issues and can say, well, okay, now I have what? I have the smoking gun to be able to do what I wanted to do anyway. So there's so many details that you're probably not divulging at this time, but this is not the place for it. You have to wait for Patreon because there's things I want to discuss that I can't talk on this program without compromising our channel.
Now, is Patreon an app?
No, Patreon, when you go to Patreon/A Gathering 144, It's a membership. It's only $5 a month. You become part of that, and you're in our private broadcasts every Friday. And I'll have the phone up just like here, but it'll be on a different platform. Okay?
So it's not like YouTube or nothing?
It's similar. It's on the internet. You can watch it on your phone, and you'll be able to call me the same way we're doing right now, but it won't be YouTube because YouTube have these guidelines that what you're talking about right now cannot be discussed in detail on this platform.
Uh-huh.
Okay? All right?
Okay. All right. And you said Patreon, like, can you spell that real quick?
P-A-T-R-E-O-N, Patreon, / A Gathering 144.
Okay. And so, okay, you'll talk about it on that platform.
We'll talk about it. But, brother, it may not be easy to get out like you think it is, and it's best to find a way to heal the situation if possible. And that's what we'll discuss.
That's what I was thinking. Like, can I resolve it, or is it one of those things where, you know, I gotta just find where the Most High leads me?
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it. Don't worry about it. We'll talk about it. All right.
Okay.
Bless you.
Okay.
All right. And one thing about it, if you're using Patreon, you can't have the Patreon and the Vimeo app. If you have both of those apps on your device, it's going to conflict and won't allow you to be able to watch the actual broadcast, the live broadcast. So make sure if you have the Patreon app and is using that for Friday, you can't have the Vimeo app on your phone too. You have to get rid of the Vimeo app and just watch through Patreon, or you'll have a conflict, and that conflict would have you get frustrated to think that it's not working on our side. All right? Want to put that out there. Valerie has a comment.
Hi, Elder. How are you? I'm good.
I'm blessed
I'm
by
good.
The best, and his name is Ahaya.
Me too. I just had a comment because I just wanted to tell you thank you, and Lawyer, thank you for everything that you do, because I prayed so hard for that baptism. And when you said that you were going to do the mass baptism, I was like, okay, I got to be there. So I sent the email, like you said, and Deacon Deshaun called. When he called me, oh, my goodness, the tears just rolled down my face. I was like, really? He's like, I'm going to tell you what you got to do. And then yesterday in baptism class, it's like I love GOCC because y'all break it down so simple to make people understand, and I really, really appreciate it. So I said, if I have to walk, okay, to Washington, I will be there and be baptized this week. I know I'm not have to. I get over dramatic
okay.
sometimes, but it's like that's how important it is for me. But I appreciate you taking my call, and I just want to say thank you so much. I love you guys, all of you.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Even my internet family here, you know, it's like I love everybody, and I enjoy, being a participant. But I thank you, and I hope you all have a good night.
Thank you, Sifton. It's going to be a blessing with you as part of the fold, right? But like
yes,
I'm going
sir.
To be mentioning when I – listen, the enemy doesn't like when Christ has a victory over his world. When he called one of us into the kingdom, the enemy gets totally irate. So it's not going to be an easy ride. Usually when you're baptized, everything comes at you at once after that. And I just want to prepare you for that. The enemy doesn't want to let anyone who's under his influence go, understanding that how much power he loses once you're baptized. So it's not as if it's a cakewalk from here. And this is what I'm going to discuss next week. Things may get harder to some degree. But if you're brought low, if you make it through that first trial, everything changes for you. And I'm talking about on the right side of the Most High on the right side of judgment. When you make it through that first obstacle, everything when it comes to this work becomes clear. And I'm going to be talking about that next week, okay?
Indeed. Thank you so much, Elder. And I know because things are coming at me hard now. So it's like,
oh, yeah.
You know, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be standing right now. So,
Get to that water.
Still standing. Yep.
Get to that water. All right.
So thank you,
bless you
so much. And I hope you have a good night. Bless you as well.
Thank you. Bless you. All right. We're almost done. Shalom. Someone is calling in from a Skype call. It could be someone from England. I'm not sure. Hello?
Hello, Shalom, Elder. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself, sir?
Good. My name is Brother Rudy. I'm just calling on my Skype because my phone's not working right now. I'm calling from Florida.
Okay. Floor is yours, Rudy.
Thank you. I have two questions. One is, I saw the video that you guys made the other day on if the Gentiles can be saved, and I really appreciated that video because I struggled a little bit with that because sometimes the word Gentiles can mean, you know, different things, and so that really cleared it up for me. So thank you for
all
that
praises.
Video. And so my first question is, when Paul says that he's an apostle to the Gentiles, is he talking about the natural Gentiles or the Gentiles that were Israelites?
Both.
Okay. All right. And my second question is, I was wondering if you could do a lesson on the different sacrifices in the Old Testament, like the burnt offering and the peace offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering, because is it true that when Christ comes back, that there will be also sacrifices?
Well, Christ is our sacrifice. All you got to do is go to Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10. That's going to wrap it up for you. You don't have to know the individual. You don't have to know all the individual sacrifices with Christ completing them all.
So when
we're in the wilderness,
back.
When we're in the wilderness, we're going to have to abide under the rod, which is the law in of itself. Okay? In the wilderness. But right now, you don't have to worry about all these others because Christ covered all of the sacrifices there.
So when he returns, there'll be no more sacrifices?
No. When he returns, now in the wilderness, there'll be a sacrifice when the Most High camp around about us before his return. But once he returns and we're in the land, there'll be no need for sacrifices anymore. There'll be no death. Death means animals die.
Mm-hmm. So in Ezekiel, in the last chapter of Ezekiel, when it's talking about the sacrifices, is that about the
when
old
when it's talking about
temple?
The oblation and all that, that's us in the wilderness. That's before Christ returns.
Okay. Like when he's telling them how to construct the temple and all the sacrifices that are going to be offered.
Oh,
is
no.
That...
When you look at the book of Ezekiel, this is actually giving us an insight into the temple itself, the heavenly temple. I'll have to break that down for you.
And there it was saying that it was explaining about the sacrifices. Now, I was confused about that.
Well, the sacrifices will happen in the wilderness when the Most High is round about us. There'll be a temple there. There'll be the same way it was in the wilderness. We'll have to operate there. There'll be some people dealing with abominations and all that, trying to eat that, and the Most High said in Isaiah, they're going to fall dead. But that's us in the wilderness before Christ returns. When we're in the kingdom, there'll be no death.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a seven-year period between the wilderness and when we're actually in Christ's kingdom for 1,000 years. There's a seven-year window in between that. That's that time you're talking about. Are you in the academy?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Week 12, when I go into the judgment of the nations, I'll break all of that down. You'll have that easily. That's no problem.
All right. Can I read one scripture? Can I ask a question just about Ezekiel 43?
Again, brother, I said week 12, because it's going to lead me into having to be here another 30 minutes and we're at the end of the broadcast.
Okay.
So help these out.
Okay.
I, I guarantee you, week 12, I'll call you in with the phone call like I'm doing now, and I'll go through everything you need to go through, and I'll show you the time span within everything you're talking about. Not that it's not going to happen, but what time period between us now and the kingdom it happens. All right? The span in which what you're talking about will actually happen. All right?
Okay. Thank you, sir. Bless you.
You're welcome. Thank you for understanding. I'm at the end of tonight, okay?
Yeah, I understand. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Bless you. Okay, that concludes our broadcast for this evening. May the Most High be with you. Stay prayed up, Sanat. And yes, watch out. We're under a systematic Moloch, satanic world who's seeking to destroy our children. If you don't know about it, if you don't understand it, your children will fall victim to it. And what is that? That's right, the sacrifice of Moloch. But guess what? They have no power over us. We're the children of Israel, and we're back in the name of Christ. May the Most High be with you. Stay prayed up. Sin not. We will soon see Zion. Have a great night, and I'll see you Friday for our weekly Patreon. I'm going to probably start that around 1 p.m. this coming Friday. Shalom. Thank you, Other Lawyer.
Yes, sir. Shalom.
Good night.